How the heck do I get the right nutrition information for my pet? Part 2. Season 2, Lesson 2. Good day, or night, wizardlings. Thank you for coming to listen to my podcast. I am the Animal Nutrition Wizard and host of the ANW podcast, Trinity. I am a certified pet nutrition specialist and have about a decade of experience helping people and their pets with all kinds of issues through diet and supplementation and all based on scientific research and knowledge with the use of more natural, biologically appropriate options. As introduced in the previous lesson, I will start with the ANW flashcard segment. I'm trying to really make that sound more exciting than what it is. That's fine. Today's flashcard, the front side, is CVM, or Center for Veterinary Medicine. What is it and what do they do? So that's the question on the front of the flashcard, CVM, Center for Veterinary Medicine. What is it and what do they do? I will reveal the answer on the back of the card at the end of the lesson. Curious if anybody already knows this. So in the meantime, let's get on with part 2 of how to get your nutrition information tips and techniques by looking at different studies. Last lesson, we learned the basic types of study designs and a quick overview of the quality and efficacy of the different kinds of studies. If you remember, the top tier study in the sixth level of the pyramid, the tippy top of the pyramid, was randomized controlled studies. So that is going to be our main focus for the next two lessons, this lesson and the next lesson, and I'm going to delve into what you need to know to understand how and why this is the best kind of study to refer to when performing your third-person research, and why it's still a good idea to remain cautiously skeptical about the conclusions. To get us started for this lesson, I'm going to talk about two key factors that I learned as I worked to advance my education on pet nutrition and am still using to this day, and those are reliability and validity. These are the two things we're going to talk about on this lesson. These two factors are at the core of scientific findings, and it is necessary to be familiar with their role when you inevitably find yourself compelled to do your own research if you aren't already, and will help you when interpreting the quality of a study to begin with. So let's start with reliability. This refers to the questions any researcher worth their salt must ask of their study, and those are, can we repeat this study? And are the results repeatable? And moreover, are they consistent? In order for research to be considered reliable, the findings have to happen more than one single time. When different researchers perform the same experiments at a different time, they should achieve the same results. It is not only risky to base your nutritional decisions on the conclusions of a single study, but it's not scientific or responsible. It can also lead to wrong conclusions. When earning their doctorates, for example, those with PhDs review no less than 10,000 studies in their chosen field. The probability that any research claim is true depends not only on study power and bias, which we'll get into more later, but also the number of other studies on the same question. Published research findings are indeed refuted by subsequent evidence at times, and one must consider the confounding factors and variables within each independent study. The more studies there are on a single hypothesis, the more likely we are to reach correct conclusions. Now, this is one area where science fails those of us who feed fresh whole food diets to our pets already. If no one in science who has the resources to do so is asking, what are the benefits of feeding our dogs and cats lightly cooked or even raw diets, then we won't have those studies to go off of and must make conclusions based on other scientific avenues. Now, luckily, we still have gargantuan mountains of biology, immunology, and physiology information to go off of, as well as tons of anecdotal evidence on our side. And as of today, we do now have several studies published showing the incredible health benefits of raw food over commercial dry food, but there is much work to be done and reliability still applies. The second factor we must consider is validity. This factor asks the question of whether the study we're reviewing is measuring what it should actually measure. Let me put it another way. Validity is achieved when the study is well constructed. It is absolutely possible to have a study that is reliable, meaning it can be repeated and get consistent results, of course, but still not be valid. So it's important that a study is both valid and reliable. In scientific terms, validity is defined as the extent to which a concept is accurately measured. So let's say an instrument was developed to measure the mathematical skills of an individual. Validity asks the question, is the instrument truly measuring mathematical skills, or is it measuring something else? A confounding factor such as reading comprehension or the ability to follow directions. Maybe it's actually measuring eyesight and memory or mathematical skills of a single branch of math, algebra, arithmetic, geometry, etc. What if the tool or tools constructed or the experiments designed to measure a specific thing is actually measuring something else that wasn't accounted for? This is especially an issue in the pet food industry. Many pet food studies are meant to measure a specific change or health benefit while on a particular food. But without access to all the parameters of the testing, there may be other factors that are in fact being measured and attributed to the food or a specific ingredient in the food that are not considered and therefore reduce or eliminate the validity of the study. Another example that helped me to better understand this was, say you are given a scale and you must weigh yourself on it for the sake of the study. The scale reads 150 pounds. An hour later, you get on the scale and it's still 150 pounds. You weigh yourself again one more hour after that and it still says 150 pounds. So far, this test is reliable. But there is not nearly enough information for this test to be valid. What if the scale is broken or needs to be recalibrated and is showing the wrong weight? A different scale or the same scale with a recalibration may show a different number. And what about a myriad of other details? Were you wearing shoes? Were you wearing any clothes and did they change or not? Had you eaten yet? Did you go to the bathroom? Here we have an extremely simplistic, poorly constructed, and most importantly, invalid test meant to measure your weight reliably. But it's pretty easy to see that simply replicating the process a few times and getting the same answer doesn't mean that we conclude that you do, in fact, weigh 150 pounds in this hypothetical scenario. Now, obviously, real experiments set it up by educated and trained researchers will often be far more complex than this in most cases, and there will be a lot more to look at and trying to figure out when looking at these studies and trying to determine if such studies are actually valid. But this is still a really good way to get a firm grasp on the basic understanding on the importance of validity. There you have it, folks. This is the end of today's lesson. So you learned all about reliability and validity when it comes to looking at studies. And this marks the second episode of the season for A&W Podcast. I hope you found this interesting and helpful. I know I did when I began learning how to assess the quality of the studies I review for my pet nutrition work. And now let's get to the answer on the back of the flashcard. So the front of the flashcard I provided at the beginning of the episode was CVM, or Center for Veterinary Medicine. What is it and what do they do? The back side of the card and the answer is, it's an organization within the FDA which regulates all pet foods involved in interstate commerce and all the pet foods sold within the states. And for those curious to learn more about it, you can check out lesson 9 of my podcast in the first season called Who the Heck Regulates Our Pet Food, which is where I talked about this. So did you already know the answer? Do you have any more questions as a result of today's lesson? Let me know in a Facebook comment on my page at facebook.com/animalnutritionwizard, or use my contact page at my website, which will send me an email. My website is animalnutritionwizard.org. You can also book a low-cost consult with me through my website and learn more about what I do there. In the meantime, if you found this interesting, keep an ear out for the next part of this lesson. Thank you again so much for listening and taking the time to learn with me. And remember, nutrition is magic.
Hey, listener and wizard in training. I'd like to tell you a bit about the host of this podcast, Trinity Thresher. Trinity is an independently certified pet nutrition specialist and coach. She would like to invite you to visit her website at animalnutritionwizard.org, where you can schedule a consult with her or purchase a food analysis from one of her three comprehensive packages. Her credentials include 6 years' experience working under Dr. Katie Miller, DVM, maintained certifications from canine nutritionist Nina Liu and Dr. Jean Dodds, as well as educators Holly and Hugo, and several certifications from Dogs Naturally Pro courses created by Dr. Marion Smart. The wizard performs ongoing study and dedicates much of her time to advancing her learning and understanding of biology, immunology, animal physiology, and nutrition. She provides coaching, consultations, guides, and free weekly Q&A sessions. Her ultimate goal is to create a certification program designed for members of the pet food industry that, once certified, would provide them with the Animal Nutrition Wizard's Seal of Approval, which could be labeled directly on packaging or on their website. This seal would be one of the best ways for pet owners to quickly recognize a food, treat, or supplement as safe and healthy and has met the standards of an independent third-party certifier. Optimal nutrition and the well-being of your pets is the sole focus of the Animal Nutrition Wizard. Her dream is to empower pet owners everywhere and create pet nutrition wizards out of every dog and cat owner. Your support is the driving force that helps to maintain and grow these goals and dreams. Thank you.